I come here tonight thankful for the opportunity that I've had to worship with you, the only true and living God. You know, I feel like that it's such a privilege to be in the Church of Christ. Many years ago, I was blessed when I met my wife, and I not only met a lifelong mate, but I also joined a family of Christ. And this is one thing that has brought joy to my heart for such a long time. You know, I found the richest treasure on earth. I know that I believed in Christ, and I know I believed in God, and I believed in His Scriptures, but it never really became real to me until I come into this place. And I found Christ here. I found the Spirit of Christ dwelling in the midst of the hearts of the people of the Church of Christ. Oh, that doesn't mean that we've gotten along, that we've never had problems, and that we've never had difficulties in the church. We have. But there's always an underlying love, that abiding love of Jesus Christ in your hearts. You know, the gospel of Christ is beautiful. It really is. It's beautiful. And I shudder to think of what my life would have been without the gospel of Christ. Without Christ coming into my heart. Without Christ becoming a part of me. I just shudder to think about that. Jesus is very, very important to me. And I wouldn't want to live. I just absolutely would not want to live without Him. I don't know why God sought after me. I don't know why He searched me out. I don't know why He loves me. And I don't know why He continues to love me. Because I know that there's times when I've disappointed Him greatly. There's times when each one of us have disappointed God and disappointed Jesus Christ. And I just want to be fit to be used to the glory of God. That's my desire, is to be fit, just be fit, to be used for the glory of God. I would suspect that's in each and every one of your hearts. That's the desire of your hearts. We heard this morning about, or we read in Sunday school about, that God gave the children of Israel the desire of their hearts. And many times they used it to their detriment. You know, it is a good and a proper desire to want to be used by God. It's a good and proper desire to want to be an instrument. An instrument in the hand of God to the convincing of others that His gospel is true. I think of Joseph Smith, that young boy of 15, as he went out into the woods to pray. You know, I don't think it was his desire at that time to be an instrument in the hand of God. He just wanted to know what God's purpose was, where God's church was. But he followed one of the conditions that made him fit to be an instrument in God's hands, and that is that he knelt in prayer. He knelt in prayer and asked God if he would show him what was right. And you know, that is the desire that we have in our hearts. Or we should have. Is that we should have a desire to go to God in humble prayer and ask him with sincerity of heart if he would show us the truth in all things. You know, the problems of this church, the problems that we face from time to time, would be eliminated totally if we would but just ask with sincerity of heart that God would show us what He desires. Not what we desire, but what He desires. If we want to be an instrument in the hand of God, we must have faith in God and Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we must know the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will. I would like us to turn in Timothy. It's a short reading. You, each one of you would know this reading if I just read it to you. But I want you to follow along with me, if you will. 2 Timothy 2:15. And this is Paul writing to Timothy, and it tells him to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then it goes on in the 16th verse, it says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We need to study to show ourselves approved. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 29th and 30th verse, it says, then spake Jesus, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells us to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, ever since I came into the Church of Christ, I've heard these two scriptures read. Study to show thyself approved. And take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you know what it is? It really is. Think of the freedom that you have. That wonderful freedom in the gospel of Christ. Oh yes, there's rules. There's rules we must follow. But those rules are simple. Tony this morning showed you some pictures. And one of the pictures was of the Ten Commandments. That's just common sense. It should be to us. Common sense. And then we hear the commandments of Jesus Christ that He says, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those commandments are easy. Easy to follow. If we would but just center our minds upon them. And ask with sincerity of heart if God would help us. Also, to be an instrument in the hand of God. You know, there was a young man back many years ago. His name was Nephi. In the early part of the Book of Mormon, you remember the story how Lehi led his family out of Jerusalem, led them into the wilderness. And there was a task that Nephi had to do, and that task was to go back and get the genealogy of his fathers, his forefathers, from a fellow named Laban. And he and his brothers went back to Jerusalem to get the books, the genealogy. And you remember that at first they wanted to try to reason with Laban. Just, you know, you can have all the riches that my father left, but give us the books. And Laban wouldn't do it. And then you know that the brothers convinced Nephi to run back into the wilderness because Laban was going to kill them. But Nephi was told of God that he must go back. So he went back and he got the genealogy of his fathers. But then you recall the story that Nephi had a dream, or Lehi had a dream. And it told about this wonderful field and the tree at the end of the field. And Nephi desired to be an instrument in the hand of God, and he desired to have this dream as well. He desired to know the things that his father had seen. And believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto him, said he sat down and he pondered in his heart. And do you remember that he was caught away in the spirit? He was caught away into an exceeding high mountain. This is in 3 Nephi, the 37th verse. He was caught away into a very high mountain, or exceeding high mountain, which he had never seen, and upon which he had never before set his foot. But yet he had the faith that God would do this for him, that God would show him the vision that his father had seen. And Nephi was a mighty instrument in the hand of God for good for the people of Nephi. We have a Book of Commandments. I really love to read in the Book of Commandments because that's God speaking to us, speaking to our fathers and our forefathers. And I want to take just a portion of the 15th chapter of the Book of Commandments. It's the 27, page 27, and the 12th verse, and it says, remember the worth of souls is great in the sight of God. For behold, the Lord your God suffereth death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffered the pains of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him. And he had risen again from the dead, that he might bring all men unto him on conditions of repentance. And how great is his joy in the soul that repenteth. Wherefore, you are called to cry repentance unto this people. And if it so be that you should labor all your days in crying repentance unto this people and bring, save it be, one soul only unto me. How great shall be your joy with him in the kingdom of my Father. And now, if your joy will be great with one soul, that you have brought unto me into the kingdom of my Father, how great will be your joy if you should bring many souls unto me. And you know, this is just not the responsibility. This is just not the responsibility of the ministry. This is the responsibility that each and every Church of Christ member that takes upon them the name of Jesus Christ, this is their responsibility too, is to bring souls unto Jesus. And think of how happy we could be if we brought many souls unto Jesus Christ. But you know, I see out there, I see problems. I was talking last night to some of the Church of Christ people, and I heard that, but we're such a small group. We're such an insignificant group. When you look at all these other churches, when you count our church right here in Independence, if you look at some of the most magnificent churches around, we're small and we're insignificant. But that doesn't mean we don't have the power of God with us. That doesn't mean that we don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit residing in us. That doesn't mean that we can't get out there and work for the glory of God. We have to be fit for His service. We have to be willing to get out there and work for God. Yes, we are small when you look at the magnificent churches of the day. We are small, but we have God. We have God to work within us. Behold, you have my gospel before you, and my rock, and my salvation. Ask the Father in my name, in faith believing, that you shall receive, and you shall have the Holy Ghost, which manifests all things, which is expedient unto the children of men. And if you have not faith, hope, and charity, you can do nothing. You can't do anything without faith, hope, and charity. It goes on further. It says, contend against no church, save it be the church of the devil. Take upon you the name of Christ and speak truth in soberness. And as many as repent and are baptized in my name, which is Jesus Christ, and endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Behold, Jesus Christ is the name which is given of the Father, and there is none other name given whereby man can be saved. Wherefore all men must take upon them the name which is given of the Father, for in the name shall they be called at the last day. Wherefore, if they know not the name by which they are called, they cannot have place in the kingdom of my Father. And now behold, there is none other which are called to declare my gospel, both unto the Gentile and Jew. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. And behold, and now behold, there are others which are called to declare my gospel, both to the Gentile and Jew, yea, even unto 12. And the 12 shall be my disciples, and they shall take upon them my name. And the twelve are they which desire to take upon them my name, with full purpose of heart. And you know, I really believe this. I really believe that those men that we call apostles, that are called of God, they really have a desire with full purpose of heart to take upon them the name of Jesus Christ and to declare His gospel unto every nation, kindred, and tongue of people. And if they desire to take upon them my name, with full purpose of heart, they are called to go unto all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. And they are they which are ordained of me to baptize in my name according to that which is written. And you have that which is written before you. Wherefore, you must perform it according to the words which are written. And now I speak unto the 12, behold, my grace is sufficient for you. You must walk uprightly before me and sin not. But brothers and sisters, that's not just to the 12. That's not just to the ministry. That's to each and every one of you. You must walk uprightly before me and sin not. We have the Word of God given to our forefathers. We have the Word of God that should be read within our assemblies. Not only the Bible and the Book of Mormon, but we should rehearse the Book of Commandments before our people. Because that was a word that was given to us. In 2 Timothy, the second verse, or second chapter, again, we'll turn there because I want to read a few words unto you. And I'm going to start in the middle of the 19th verse, and I'm going to be reading out of the Inspired Version. It said, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also from youthful lust, but follow righteousness. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Brothers and sisters, we can be vessels of honor or we can be vessels of dishonor. What kind of vessels do we have in our house? Are they for the good of the family of Christ? Or are they that are bad for the family of Christ? You know, we display vessels of honor in our houses, in our homes. If you stop and think, I know many of the women here have knickknacks that are beautiful, that make you think back and look upon the beauty that God has created. And sometimes those are vessels of honor. But then we also have vessels of dishonor. Vessels that are useful, but are not appropriate. And what are those vessels? Well, in olden times, it was a slop bucket or a mop bucket. Or it was garbage cans, trash cans. Those are vessels that we don't like to set out for people to see. What do you have in your life that is a vessel of honor unto God? Each one of you will have to answer it for yourself. And what is that vessel of dishonor? Is that maybe we're not as patient as we should be? I know I'm not. That's a vessel of dishonor. Is that we might gossip and talk about others? Is that a vessel of honor or dishonor? Does it glorify God? Or God or not? If it doesn't glorify God, it's a vessel of dishonor. So we must purify ourselves. If we want to be that person that can be used of God, that can be a vessel in the hand of God for the enhancement of the going forth of His gospel, then we must be fit to be used. When I talk about purifying yourself, this doesn't mean that we have the power to deal with our own sins. You know, we really don't. To cleanse our own lives, we don't have that power. But it does mean that we're responsible to use cleansing that has been provided. You know, this morning, for you that were here, you saw a bar of soap sitting here. And you saw something else sitting here. And a cleanser sitting here. Brother Tony said, yes, you can use this soap to cleanse the outer body. But you can't cleanse the inner body with it. You can use this substance to cleanse the outer body, but you can't cleanse the inner body with it. You know, we can use deodorant to cover up body odor, but it doesn't get rid of the problem. There's only one thing that can cleanse the inner body. And what is that one thing? That is to get down on your knees in prayer, to to our Heavenly Father and ask His forgiveness for the sins that we've committed with sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. Let's turn, if you will, to Psalms. I want to turn to the 51st chapter of Psalms. And this is a prayer that David had. See if we couldn't pray this same prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is the prayer that each one of us should hold daily, that God would create in you a clean heart and renew the right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me unto the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That was David's prayer. That could be our prayer. I can't think of anything worse than to be cast away from His presence. And I know that when sin is in your life and sin has turned to iniquity, that God cannot look upon that sin with any degree of allowance. God cannot look upon that. And if we have sin in our life, if we have not repented, if we have not gone on our knees before God with sincerity of heart, we're really going to be found wanting at the last day. Because you know, brothers and sisters, we have the most wonderful gift of the gospel that any people has ever had. Oh yeah, there's those that were in Jerusalem that saw Jesus Christ in the flesh. And there are those that were in this country that saw the risen Savior. We have the records from Jerusalem. We have the records from the people that saw Christ in this country. And we have the Spirit that God left within His people. That Holy Ghost, that Comforter, that abiding Spirit that will always guide us in the ways of righteousness if we will but just pay attention to the leadings within our hearts. We have the responsibility to avail ourselves of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I want to go to page 203 of the Book of Mormon. Page 203 is the Book of Omni. And I'm going to start with the 46th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I would that ye should come unto Christ, who is the Holy One of Israel, and partake of His salvation and the power of His redemption. Yea, come unto Him and offer your whole souls as an offering unto Him. And continue in fasting and prayer and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, ye will be saved. He requests our whole souls. Let's go again in the book of Mosiah, the first chapter. I want to read one verse and then go to down a little bit further and read some more. But woe, this is the 108th verse. But woe, woe unto him that knoweth that he rebelleth against God, for salvation cometh to none such, except it be through repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then down to the 116th verse, it says, And moreover I say unto you, that there shall be no other name given, nor any other way or means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only in and through the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For behold, he judgeth, and his judgment is just. And the infant perisheth not that die in infancy. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and become as a child. And notice what he says about a child: submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. One more reading. Mosiah, the second chapter. And I want to read the first six verses. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of the speaking of the words which he had delivered unto him by an angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried with a loud voice, saying, O have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Christ, the Son of God, who has created the heavens and the earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy, having received remission of their sins and having peace of conscience because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who should come according to the words King Benjamin had spoken unto them. the atoning blood of Christ. I had more that I wanted to read, but my time is gone. And you know, my wife thrilled me with that song, Thrill My Heart. It is no secret what God can do. I know the reason why she chose that song. This was a song for her mother. But it really thrilled me. Because I know that it's not a secret what God can do. It's really no secret that God moves in the lives of His people. It's really no secret that He desires that all men shall come unto Him, repenting of their sins. It really is no secret that Jesus Christ offered His life on the cross that we might have an avenue coming back to the Father. And what really thrills me is this, I think it's called the stanza, might be what is called the chorus, I don't know. But it says something like, with arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. You know, God has blessed each and every one of you. He has given you a reason for living, a reason for working, and a reason for wanting to be a vessel in His hands for the benefit of His kingdom. And it's just up to you now. It's up to you and I. If we want to be that little significant church, or do we want to be the church of Christ that was given the authority to go out and profess His word unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples, calling them to repentance, calling them to the knowledge and the love that Jesus Christ has to offer them? I'm really thankful that God has loved me. Because I know that there's times when I've been unlovable. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you there's lots of times when I'm unlovable. But I'm so thankful that He has patience with me. And I really desire that each and every one of you would be in His kingdom at the last day. And that's my prayer. Thank you.